Bible Basics, Study 4, 2, The Soul. In the light of the foregoing, it ought to be inconceivable that man has an immortal soul or any immortal element within him naturally. We will now attempt to clear up the confusion surrounding the word soul. The Hebrew and Greek words which are translated soul in the Bible, that is nephesh and psuche respectively, are also translated in the following ways: body, breath, creature, heart, mind, person, himself, and life. The soul, therefore, refers to the person, body, or self. The famous Save Our Souls, or SOS in Morse code, clearly means save us from death. The soul is therefore you, or the summation of all the things that make up a person. It is understandable, therefore, that many modern versions of the Bible, for example the New International Version, rarely use the word soul, translating it instead as you or the person. The animals which God created are called living creatures. Every living thing that moves, that's in Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. The Hebrew word translated creatures and living thing here is nephesh, which is also translated being, for example, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and man became a living being. Thus, man is a soul or a living being, just as the animals are souls or living beings too. The only difference between mankind and animals is that man is mentally superior to them. He is created in the image of God. That's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And listen to Study 1, 2. And some men are called to know the gospel through which the hope of immortality is opened up to them. That's in 2 Timothy 1, 10. As regards our fundamental nature and the nature of our death, there is no difference between man and animals. What happens to the sons of men also happens to beasts. One thing befalls them. And here note the double emphasis. As one dies, so dies the other. Man has no advantage over beasts. All, that is, man and animals, go to one place, which is the grave. All are from the dust, and all return to dust. And that you will find in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. The inspired writer of Ecclesiastes prayed that God would help men to appreciate this hard fact, that men may see that they themselves like beasts. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 18. It is therefore to be expected that many people will find this fact hard to accept. Indeed, it can be humiliating to realize that by nature we are just animals, living out the same instincts of self-preservation, survival of the fittest, and procreation. The New International Version translation of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 18 says that God tests man by making him see that he is just an animal. That is, those who are humble enough to be his true people will realize the truth of this, but those who are not will fail this test. The philosophy of humanism, that is, the idea that human beings are of such supreme importance and value, has quietly spread throughout the world during the 20th century. It is a considerable task to clear our thinking of the influence of humanism. The plain words of Psalm 39:5 are a help. Man at his best state is but vapor. It is not for man to direct his steps. That's what Jeremiah says in chapter 10, verse 23 in the New International Version. One of the most basic things that we know is that all human bodies, indeed all living creatures, eventually die. The soul, therefore, dies. It is the exact opposite of something that is immortal. Indeed, 652 of the 754 times the Hebrew word nefesh occurs, it is used about the soul or creature dying. It is not surprising that about a third of all uses of this word in the Bible are associated with the death and destruction of the soul. The very fact that the word soul is used in this way shows that it cannot be something which is indestructible and immortal. Here are some examples. The soul who sins shall die. Ezekiel chapter 18, 4. God can destroy the soul. That's Matthew 10, 28. Other references to souls being destroyed are in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 27, where people is our nephesh. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 30. Here, person is equivalent to nephesh. All the people, nephesh, that were within the city of Hazor were killed by the sword. That's in Joshua chapter 11, verse 11, and compare Joshua chapter 10, verses 30 to 39. Every living creature, suke, died. That's in Revelation 16:3, and compare Psalm 78, 50. The Hebrew word nephesh, translated soul, is also translated dead body in Numbers 9, 6. No man can deliver his life, that is nephesh, from the power of the grave. That's in Psalm 89, verse 48. Frequently, the law of Moses commanded that any person, that is nephesh, which disobeyed certain laws should be killed. For example, Numbers chapter 15, verses 27 to 31. References to the soul being strangled or snared can only make sense if it is understood that the soul can die. That's in Proverbs 18, verse 7, 22, verse 25, Job chapter 7, verse 15. None can keep himself, nephesh, alive. That's in Psalm 22, verse 29. And Christ poured out his soul unto death, so that his soul or life was made an offering for sin. That's in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 10 and 12. That the soul refers to the personal body rather than some immortal spark within us is shown by the majority of verses in which the word occurs. Here are some obvious examples. For instance, the blood of the lives, that is nephesh, of, and that we find in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 34. If a person, that's nephesh, sins in hearing an oath, if he does not tell it, if he, nephesh, touches human uncleanness, if a person, that is nephesh again, swears, speaking thoughtlessly with his lips, all those examples are found in Leviticus chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Another example is, O my soul, all that is within me, bless the Lord, O my soul, who satisfies your mouth with good things. That's in Psalm 103, verses 1, 2, and 5. Another example is Numbers chapter 21, 4, which shows that a group of people can have one soul. The soul, therefore, cannot refer to a spark of personal immortality within each of us. Whosoever will save his life, that is soul, shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life, or soul, for my sake shall save it. That's Mark chapter 8, verse 35. This is proof enough that the soul does not refer to any spiritual element within man. Here, soul, which in Greek is psuche, just means one's physical life, which is how it is translated here. We must give our lives or souls after the pattern of the Lord Jesus on the cross, who poured out his soul unto death. That's in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. Not that it makes any difference to Bible truth, but it's worth mentioning that many eminent Bible students and theologians have come to the same conclusions as we've reached here. That is, the soul isn't immortal. One of the clearest evidences for this is in the following quote. Contrary to what is usually supposed, the doctrine of the immortality of the soul finds no place in the Old Testament or the New, and that is by John Robinson, Bishop of Woolwich, in his book On Being the Church in the World, which is published by Hammondsworth UK Penguin in 1960.